things are more emotional and bring families closer together than the sport of football. The athleticism, the brute force, the close wins, and the heartbreaking losses. No team has nurtured that family bond better than the Green Bay Packers, and no place resembles that true football spirit better than the frozen tundra. Many people say you don't become a Packer fan. You're born that way. You bleed green and gold. Now, here are your hosts, father and son, Mike and Sean Reagan, with the Bleeding Green and Gold Podcast.
Welcome to Week 16 edition of Bleeding Green and Gold. I'm Mike.
I'm Sean.
And unfortunately, it was bad.
Not a very good Christmas present, I think.
No.
Most of Packer fandom got cold this year.
Yeah, that's for sure. It was, knew it was going to be a tough game, but we'll get into more specifics on it. But first of all, just want to wish everybody a happy holiday season, and thank you so much for your support here with Bleeding Green and Gold.
Yeah, we appreciate it. Mm-hmm. Vikings 16, Packers 0.
Ouch. Yeah, it's the second shutout at home this season, and that hasn't happened since 2006.
Yep.
So we're both looking at each other going, okay, we got to make this work.
Yeah, I mean, you can't sugarcoat that. It's just not something that happens to the Packers. Doesn't happen in Lambeau. They didn't really show up for this game.
No.
It felt like, obviously, Minnesota's a good team. They're a solid team.
Mm-hmm.
Packers just, you know, the motivation to win wasn't there.
Yeah. Yeah, and I know you can blame it on the coaches. You can blame it on the players. They're all professionals. But, I mean, one of the biggest things that stood out for me was a receiving core. Even when we could get them the ball, they wouldn't catch. They look like our defensive backs.
Yeah, the receivers had a bad game. Pretty much everyone had a bad game.
Mm-hmm.
All around. And I think, for the most part, that's on the coaches. The mentality you have going into the game is, you know, that's on the coaches. Who knows? Obviously, it would have been nice if we could have competed. We held them to 16 points.
Mm-hmm.
They've been scoring a lot more than that, but a lot of that might have been weather and field conditions. So,
yeah, I mean, there was some decent plays here and there, but but for the most part, it was a tough game to watch. One thing that kind of popped out, I didn't see it because the Packers took Aaron off injured reserve,
yeah.
Let him play, and then put him back on again.
Without a new injury.
And so teams are saying, hey, hold up now.
Which technically the rule is if you do that, you have to drop that player. But it's like jaywalking. It's against the rules, but no one's going to enforce it.
Kind of like a wink-wink.
Yeah. I mean, every team does it this time of year with their players. There's players all over the place getting put on IR that don't have a new injury.
Mm-hmm.
But because it's Aaron Rodgers,
right,
on the Packers,
mm-hmm,
you know,
right,
teams are going to start pointing fingers.
Well, I don't think they have anything to worry about. But Minnesota left Lambeau with its first shutout since a 13-0 win over Detroit on December 5th of 93. It was the first shutout over the Packers since November 14th, 1971.
So, I was 5 months old the last time they got a shutout. And you were four the last time they shut out the Packers.
Six. I was six. Yep.
Weren't you born in 66?
Yep.
Yeah, you're right. So, that would be six.
I think my math is good there.
Well, good job.
Well, so... Yeah.
Making history. We've been making history all season.
Do you want to fire all the coaches, Sean?
I mean, why not? At this point. It gets you a little closer to that point, doesn't it?
Yeah. You know, the one that I just keep looking at is really defense. You know, I still am still up in the air with McCarthy. I don't think he's Belichick worthy. I don't think there are many, but
I don't think there are any besides Belichick.
But I just have issues with the defense, and I'll even throw Ted Thompson in there because we are really seeing holes. We've got issues, and every team has injuries, so we can't always say that.
Yeah, it's gonna be hard going forward from here, and not giving Aaron the MVP if we have a good year.
Yeah, true.
Because it just shows how much he's covering up for.
And that's what I felt like with those receivers dropping the passes. Huntley is not good enough to make up for people's mistakes.
No.
Everybody needs to play their best game for us to win with Brett. So.
Yeah, because it wasn't this game, but one of Huntley's first games as a starter, I remember McCarthy, you know, they do that little, you know, catch him as he's going into the locker room at halftime, ask him a question, he'll give a canned answer, and then, you know, you move on. Well, he was saying a big part of it was Huntley wasn't struggling, the receivers were dropping the ball. Well, the thing is, you know...
Well, we'll get into more specifics.
Like, I understand that that's an issue, but balls get dropped.
Yep.
With Huntley, if they drop the ball, it's a big deal
yep.
because not all the balls are on target. Rodgers has a lot of drop balls as well. It just you see the difference in the level of play between
the
two.
Yeah, it was. I don't know if. Well, I won't get too much into the quarterback play right now. I do want to make a programming note. I saw this on Peter King. Put this up on his website. The NFL Network is going to run a this coming Friday, 9 o'clock Eastern, on the NFL Network. It's called The Ice Bowl, and it's going to be narrated by Michael Meredith, and that's the son of Cowboys quarterback that day, Don Meredith. So I thought that was – apparently there is quite a bit of, like, stuff – we've all seen how many times a play where they do the sneak. We just said there was actually quite a bit of stuff that, because his dad was in the game, that he was able to share. So that's
cool.
Coming up this Friday, 9 o'clock Eastern. By the way, we are recording – on Tuesday.
We are.
Because yesterday because was of, Christmas.
Yeah, because of Christmas. And so you'll probably be listening to this at the earliest Wednesday, midday.
Yep.
It's kind of nice. We have a little bit more news on injuries than we normally do recording it on Mondays.
That's true.
You want to get into play calling here?
Yeah, let's get into it. You just go first because I know you break these down a lot more than I do.
McCarthy did the same thing he's been doing. He doesn't stick with what's working.
Are you talking about the run?
The run. He threw 40 times with Huntley, rushed 25 times. So you have a struggling quarterback, struggling receivers in the cold, and you're averaging 5 yards a carry.
No, I think it needs to be 5.5 to stick with it.
Yeah, is that what it is? I get that that number's a little bit skewed because they're expecting a pass when you're passing that much, so there's going to be a little bit softer coverage. But we were running the ball well.
Especially with our offensive line got hurt right away, first play. But our offensive line actually did decent with that run game.
And that's the frustrating part, too, that we've gotten away from the run so much the last few weeks because our offensive line has struggled in pass protection, but been very good in run blocking. Stick with what works.
Yep, I can't give a good reason why he is that way. I don't know if he's short-sighted, if he's narrow-sighted, or he's not sighted, because he does it right every week. He's been doing this.
Yeah, it's just frustrating. Do you think this game makes McCarthy's seat a little bit hotter this offseason?
No, I don't. I really don't. Unfortunately for you, no, I don't.
Okay. Flip side of that. Capers defense held the Vikings to 16 points, 236 yards. Anytime you hold a team, especially a good offense, to 236 yards, that's a good game.
Yes.
Does this help Capers keep his job at all, this game?
It might. I think it's probably going to depend on see who shows up against the Lions, you know, what they're going to, because they've got a good offense. But it definitely doesn't hurt. And again, you know, injuries that we've had with, but they still have these big plays that they give up every game too.
I I don't think it should make a difference on him keeping his job or not, whatever that's going to be, but I think it might. We'll have to see. I think a lot of holding them to 16 points, 236 yards, is because on a lot of big plays where they would have burned us, they fell. There was a lot of slipping at bad moments. Just bad field conditions. Speaking of the Ice Bowl with the heaters under the field malfunctioning, you definitely saw that this game where it looked like the field was so warm compared to the cold day, the sod was just coming up.
Yeah, I wonder, too, like, and if you've ever walked across a lawn where there's just like a layer of water between the actual grass and the dirt. And so when you push on it, you can feel it moving. And I thought maybe that's what's going on, too. And it changes as the game goes on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that I think that accounted for probably half our defense.
Who's the turf?
Yeah, and the cold. I'm not kidding. Because there was a lot of soft coverage that we were playing and a lot of gaps that were opening up. So they're getting 10, 20-yard gains on those. Mm-hmm. And I think we would have been burned on a lot of big plays, especially with Thielen and Diggs, the way they've been playing this year, if they were able to, you know, have those go routes and get their footing under them.
Okay. It's a valid point.
So, yeah, frustrating.
Yeah, it is. And the I don't – did you notice this game? I know the last couple of them before – when Capers would be calling his defense and they need 5 yards and he's playing guys off by 20. Did you notice that this game?
I didn't really focus on that this game.
Okay.
I was focusing more on the pass rush, but, you know, that has been an issue with him, and that's kind of very dependent on where they are on the field at the time when they hit the third down. It seems to fully dictate what he calls on third down. Yeah. Do you see... before we move on from play calling, McCarthy in the post game said they're sticking with Hundley.
Yeah, it makes sense. I mean, he's doing so good. Can you imagine how bad Callahan has to be?
How bad must he be that we haven't seen him even?
Do you like my new nickname for Brett?
Brett Overthrow Hundley. I mean, we've been harping on him to not underthrow it anymore.
That's true. he definitely might have overshot himself on that one.
But. Oh, just constantly. And part of it, too, receivers were giving up on routes.
Mm-hmm.
We'll move on from that. But Hundley, 17 of 40, 130 yards, 0 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, and 5 rushes for 48 yards.
That the one interception that killed us was right at the end. Of the half, the first half, or the second quarter, same thing. But it was
bad.
Oh,
bad, what? Bad, bad.
Yeah, that's
bad,
it.
Bad, bad.
It was bad, 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 bad.
Bad. They're a good defense.
They are very good
defense. But we should still look like an NFL offense.
Well, I think, I think it was.
At least.
Pretty early in the game, too, He threw, it might have been that one in the second quarter. I'm trying to remember when he threw that interception. It's like, we didn't get 3 points out of this, and we're close.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, it just kills you when that happens.
Yeah. And the other part is that they're running such a basic offense right now for Hundley. They shrank the playbook multiple times to help him succeed. Doesn't seem like they've expanded it. They run pretty basic stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And he still makes bad decisions, bad plays.
He still gets it. This is, I'm going to throw it back to you as a question. Is this a combination of player and coaching, or coaching or player? Because you know what I'm asking? Is it a combination between his coaches and his play ability, or he's just not getting coached up? Or he just doesn't have the ability?
I mean, who knows? You can't really tell.
Well, wouldn't you think at this point now, what is this,
even if it is just him as a player, though, as a coach, you should have known that.
Yeah, that's a good point.
You should have known that before this season,
mm-hmm.
that the guy you have backing up Aaron Rodgers, you know, he can't do it. Or you should have been developing him more while he was backing up Aaron.
And it's really reminiscent back when Brett Favre, he made a couple of plays where he'd start scrambling, then he'd double back, and he'd try to triple back, and he would get sacked like 7 yards behind the line of scrimmage. It's just got to be, I would think, by this many practices, this many games under your belt, and you've been taught this since high school, get rid of the ball. There's got to be a timer in your head. Get rid of the ball.
He was better at getting rid of the ball this game.
Just to the wrong people.
To the wrong people and overthrowing them.
Overthrowing them.
Yeah. He only got sacked one time. So, I mean, that's not bad against the Vikings.
No, that's true. That's good.
So,
but
silver lining right there.
Thank you, buddy.
Yeah.
Just a lot of bad decisions.
Can we move on to my favorite part of the game?
Sure.
My actual silver lining of the game? The offensive line.
Yes.
I thought was better than expected, especially against the Vikings. Spriggs went out with a knee injury.
Right away.
We thought it looked serious. I just saw today. It is. He's on IR now, so we won't see him again. We signed a tight end in the meantime to replace, you know, our offensive lineman. yeah, so Spriggs is out for the year. McCray, I thought, looked really good coming in. He looked good the whole game. Patrick looked pretty good with his club on.
Mm-hmm.
Better than I would have expected a guy with a club on. You typically see the guys playing with a club on defensive line because they can club people and get past
them. Plus, the offensive line, they
want
to be able
to offensive, you want to be able to kind of hold it inside the shoulder pads, and you can't do that if you have the cast on. Bakhtiari was a stud the whole game, just shut down whoever he was up against, which was also impressive because he's been dealing with injury a lot this year.
Mm-hmm.
So that was good to see.
I agree.
So those are my silver linings. The offensive line, it was good to see. I wish we would have gotten to see more running because they have been playing well in run blocking.
It kind of goes back to game management too. If you can eat up the clock more, it gives your defense more time to rest, and you beat up the other team. But when it's just we could keep going on and on and on. But I totally agree with you on your opinion. I think there's a lot of coaches out there that look at that, I wonder, and they go, wait a minute, Green Bay, they're averaging 5 yards a run, and they run, how many times did they run?
Okay. Yeah, no, it's frustrating for sure. But, you know, to stick on a positive note here, we did get to kind of highlight the depth we have at O-line.
That's true.
Moving forward this year, we only have one game left on the year, so.
Which is hard to say.
It is. It's been a while, hasn't it? Last year, we ran the table. That was exciting. So that was, what, 7, 8 games of playoff games in a row, it felt like?
Yeah, right. Yeah, it felt more like it doesn't.
Yeah. It's been a while since we haven't made the playoffs. I believe Rodgers' first year as a starter.
I think so. I think you're right. Well, let's just kind of ramp up the rushing because they tie together with the offensive line. Jamal Williams, 15 rushes for 58 yards. Aaron Jones, 3 rushes for 13 yards.
Didn't see much from him this game, so I don't have a ton to talk about.
Right.
Neither of them got injured. That was nice.
Wait a minute. I thought one of them got hurt. I thought I read something today that said that one of them that did get hurt. I think it was Williams. What do you remember which one of them had a knee injury? Because what I saw said it looks like it might be the same issue. Same knee issue.
Oh, I think that was Jones. Okay. Is Jones hurt again?
Okay, so.
I missed that.
Okay. Hmm.
Well, never mind.
Okay. We're not going to use him anyway.
I am excited to see them next year, though.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the times with wide receivers and running backs, where quarterbacks, you have that famous sophomore slump. A lot of quarterbacks will have a good rookie year, and then a down sophomore year, and then in their third year, they'll kind of put all the pieces together. With running backs, a lot of the time, it's that second year where they really hit their stride. Mm. Wide receivers, it's second or third year, depending on the offense typically, but running backs are usually second-year guys. They'll really shine if they're a stud.
Cool.
So I'm excited to see how these guys look.
I agree with you. I agree with you, if they play them.
Do you want to talk about receiving?
All right. We can get into the specifics on what we mean when we're saying that they kind of let us down this game on receiving. 7 drop passes, Nelson at 2, Kendricks at 2. I feel that this was a huge issue for the game since we weren't going to run it. you need guys to catch. I think Michael Clark is one of them you talked about where he just gave up on his route. He just kind of was standing there.
I thought Clark had a fine game.
It's one of them. Yeah, I did. I believe it is Clark.
Was it?
Yeah.
I thought Clark actually had a pretty good game.
Three catches
for not really playing
yards.
At all this year. He's a rookie. He's a big guy.
Yeah, he is.
And that's one of the things with him. You can't teach size. You know, he's going to be able to win a lot of balls that he wouldn't be able to otherwise. I think a lot of it with the drop passes is the cold as well. That's going to always cause a few more drop passes. But seven is.
Yeah.
Seven out of 40
yeah.
passes, or if I don't, we don't have the metric for how many were on target, but
that's a good point. That's a very good point.
So three catches, 36 yards for Clark. Kendricks, four receptions for 36 yards. Cobb, four receptions, 22 yards. Jordy, three receptions for 11 yards.
And we were without Mr. Adams. And Jordy and Richard Rodgers left the game in the first half, so that definitely hurt. But Jordy's really not seeing much anyway. They're not really throwing to him. Even when Aaron was back last week, didn't really throw him any his way.
No. I mean, at what point here do you have to kind of look at Jordy now and maybe look at his contract?
Well, especially when you got Adams coming up and looking like a stud.
He hasn't played as a number one wide receiver in a while now. Even when Rodgers was in, he wasn't playing at wide receiver one tier.
That's a really good question.
And Randall Cobb hasn't been a wide receiver one tier for quite a while as well. He's getting paid like one as well.
Yeah.
So, you know, with Adams up for a contract, we can't be paying three wide receivers wide receiver one money.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
So, we're going to...
What is his Jordy's contract, do you know?
I do not know.
Okay. Because I don't think it's up. I mean, he's still got a year or two left, I think.
Yeah. No, it's not up here, but he's making...
Really
good
He's
money. Making bling.
Yeah, he is.
You know?
You can buy farms in Iowa.
Yeah, Jordy's rolling in the tractors. So, I mean, there's not much else you can say about the receiving since they, like we said, they kind of gave up on the game, it felt like, at a lot of points. Shows that Devontae is for sure our number one guy right now as far as talent, it feels like. I don't know. I don't know if we're seeing a lack of talent at wide receiver or that has been covered up by Rodgers.
Yeah, I think that there is some of that.
Mm-hmm. I do. Because there was a lot of time last year before we started running the table, one of our biggest issues was that the wide receivers couldn't get open against anyone.
Right.
And Rodgers was having to squeeze in passes just to tight windows to complete anything.
That's good recall.
That's not on the quarterback.
Right.
That's on those wide receivers.
And the coach. All right, let's go into the defense.
All right. Decent game by the defense.
Yeah, this was one of the few bright spots that we had.
Mm-hmm. Like I said, I think a lot of it was the weather and the turf, but they did play well. All season, when we've struggled on defense, we've had good individual performances.
Yep.
Guys step up, make talented plays, but are hampered by the play calling and the scheme and all that. They played well, but it didn't feel like there was any fire on the defense. It didn't, like, you know, that extra juice.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't see that spark.
You know, and part of why we maybe feel that so much.
Mm-hmm.
Is we're so used to seeing them coming down the stretch, ramping up. December's their month, usually. Mm-hmm. So that might be an addition to it, but it's no lie. I mean, there wasn't a whole lot of fire out on the field. So that's a little disappointing. Matthews, Perry, and Randall were out. That's huge.
Yeah, that's big. Especially Perry and Randall. Matthews has been off and on, but Perry's been solid. Even on his down games, he gets... You know, at least he's very good at stopping the run. Mm-hmm. His pass rush hasn't been where you'd like to see it this year. But Randall just had that big game where he stepped up huge.
Yep.
And so I was excited to see, you know, is he going to continue this, get turned around for next year? And I didn't get to see him. And Hawkins, too, who I'd been pretty optimistic on when he had played this year at corner and come in. Not a good game. I felt like burned a lot. It might have been field conditions because a lot of it was slipping.
Yep.
But I would have liked to see more from him that I didn't. We talked about the breakdowns and coverage. That's probably more on Capers than anything because we had our starting safeties in there. Usually if you have like Burnett out, you're going to see those breakdowns in the coverage where you're leaving a guy open, anything like that. I just think it's Capers for a lot of it.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, you blitz and leave one high safety. It's a lot of the times that's not good.
Right.
Clark and Daniels both had good games, though. Daniels, have we ever had a podcast where we said Daniels had a bad game?
No. I don't think
he has bad games.
No.
He's just so strong. He moves people around. Clark was solid. He didn't really have the numbers or anything, but no one did on defense. 3 sacks for 15 yards. Some of those were covered sacks, especially. I know one, you had Keenum, quick out route to the right, and he looks over there and his receiver's on the ground.
Yeah.
And he doesn't have time to find a new guy.
Right.
So that's part of it, because our pass rush hasn't been where we wanted to see it all year.
No. And I wonder, with that, like, this past draft, Ted Thompson went and got us a couple of running backs, because we need it. Do you think this will be the focus next year in the draft as defensive linemen?
Well, I don't know, Mike. Maybe when Sean puts at the end of the script on things we should talk about, and he says, where should we draft to improve the team next year? You shouldn't jump the gun and talk about that on defense.
Well, wow, Mr. Little.
You know, it hurts.
Hussy.
It hurts. I have a game plan
I'm
here,
moving on.
And
whatever.
When the players don't live up to the game plan, I think we could use some more pass rushers for sure. I mean, we have the run defense. It feels like, right? Everyone we play against, we've done pretty solid at stopping the run. And we've had more sacks the last few games. But up until like 3 games ago, we were one of the lowest teams in the league for sacks.
Yep.
Just no pressure on the quarterback. And we were actually one of the highest for giving up sacks. So the wrong end of both those spectrums.
Isn't there the other one? I think we talked last week. We have the worst opposing teams have the highest fourth down conversion rate against the Packers than any other team. That says something.
We did have a good third down defense this game. The Vikings were 4 for 15 on third down. That's 26%.
That's good.
Hey, we hang our hats on that.
There you go.
Bravo. we'll see as far as the defense moving forward and Capers and everything.
I agree.
You have any other thoughts on the defense here?
No, I don't.
No.
My problem is, like you made the comment about you think it's scheme and why we get burned with the passes, and there was some mismanagement out there in the secondary. But, I mean, these are starters. They shouldn't be doing that. So, I don't know. It's confusing. It's hard to know for sure.
Yeah, well, a lot of it is. So, you have a safety crash down and tackle a guy after he catches a 10-yard pass. You know, it looks like the safety wasn't there.
Right.
But if he's lined up 25 yards behind the line of scrimmage, he's sprinting to get to that guy.
Yeah, good point.
It can go either way. A lot of times it's on a play-by-play basis, too. It's never just one or the other. You want to talk about special teams?
Sure.
How about
Is it
Crosby?
Okay if we talk about special teams now?
I didn't mean to jump on you, man. It's
it
just,
hurts.
You know,
it hurts.
Landry always talked about the players not following the game plan, and I need your head in this.
I'm trying,
because
man.
We're really digging here for silver linings.
not much to say on special teams.
Crosby did not miss a kick.
No, he didn't.
He didn't make one either.
Yep.
Vogel had some stinkers.
I think that's kind of normal for that type of weather.
Yeah, he's kicking a rock with how cold it was. He had 6 punts, averaging 36.7 yards. And then Davis, 3 returns, averaging 23 yards. Do you have anything else to add on special teams?
Well, let me see. Nope, I'm good.
No, you're good?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. We got through it. Offense, defense, special teams. We're through the thick of it.
All right.
No more negative Nellies.
Okay.
It's still Packer football.
Yes, sir.
It's better than the offseason.
Yes, it is.
I mean, I think so. A shutout. It's close, but it's a shutout to the Vikings.
No, yeah, you say shutout.
You know what? I might have spoken too early, but it's still football, at
least.
Well,
you know, now I'm rooting for the Vikings to go to the Super Bowl and lose in their home stadium.
Because you're
stadium.
Sadistic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you're the same way.
Oh, man. The you got to hand it to them. They played mistake-free football,
yeah,
really.
Good.
They didn't have to do much to beat us.
Mm-hmm.
They had 2 penalties for 10 yards compared to our 6 penalties for 79 yards. They had no turnovers. We had 2 interceptions. It's just they played better football.
I agree.
The whole game.
Yep. Yep. On all aspects.
We never really came all that close to scoring, did we?
Just that interception and the...
Besides, yeah.
That would be it.
Was that our only red zone trip?
I don't know. Is there a stat for that?
Yeah, there is a stat for that. Go over to analyze.
Okay.
And
let
scroll.
You scroll.
Okay.
Because I know you get huffy if I don't scroll correctly.
I don't get huffy. Stop calling me huffy and moody. I don't like it.
Well, don't get moody about it.
See? Let's see. Red zone efficiency. Vikings were 1-for-3 in the red zone, and we were 0-4. I moved it. 0-4-2.
Yeah, so twice we got down there.
Yeah. Not to mention the fact that we did get blown out, and it wasn't a pretty game for the Packers. It was kind of a boring game altogether.
It was.
Even, I'm sure, for Viking fans, like, sure, it would have been fun, I'm sure, to beat the Packers and to shut them out in Lambeau. But it wasn't exactly exciting.
Right, I agree.
Well, what else do you think?
Oh, I agree that
you got some final thoughts.
deficiencies because of Aaron, mm-hmm. like you said, if he comes back and plays like he has been, he should be MVP. It's pretty obvious. And what, but I honestly, I'm watching some of the clips today and looking through all the stats, and I think this is how Browns fans feel. It's just like,
no. You don't know how Browns fans feel. Think back when you were a wee lad and the Packers were just horrible. Hmm. The laughing stock of the league.
Yep, battle of the pigs.
That's Bay Browns fans.
Okay. All right. I
you feel a little bit better now?
Yeah.
Okay. You can shoulders a little bit higher.
So besides me spilling the beans that I think we should focus on defensive linemen in the draft, do you have any other spots? Quarterback?
I think our big one is pass rusher.
Okay.
Pass rusher is the biggest hole. I mean, do you think we have reason to be optimistic about pointing out all these deficiencies without Rodgers? Does it highlight where we need to draft and improve?
I wonder that. I think it does.
Do you think so?
I think, if anything, has it's it been just a shakeup.
Yeah. I mean, it's been hard for us to analyze mm-hmm. who's good, who's bad, when they, you know, Rodgers throws for 400 yards a game.
Mm-hmm.
How do you know how good these receivers are?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the coaches have the same issue.
Yeah.
Maybe they don't know. When we're always playing with a lead, how do you know who's good on defense?
True.
So maybe they'll really improve there. I do think they'll go pass rusher first. I would like to see outside linebacker as one of our top ones. I don't think we need to draft a quarterback. I think you can just fill in with a free agent there. Okay. I think we have enough holes that we can find a backup, you know. What do you think? Any drafting, free agency you would like to see?
You know, I'd like to see a stud tight end.
A stud?
Yep. In somebody that doesn't have rock hands.
I wanted us to grab O.J. Howard. I think the Buccaneers drafted him, but he's a stud. I think he didn't fall as far as he would have needed to for us to get him. Which, by the way, we'll get a better draft pick than we've gotten in a long time this year. That'll be interesting.
Yeah, it sure
will. Probably trade it, but.
Do you want to do the game ball?
Sure.
It's your game ball.
Bach, T R E.
You sound like Aaron with R.
Bach T R E
L A.
I don't know who else you would give it to.
I don't either.
I mean, we could. You want to go back to the grounds crew?
No, we can't give it to them.
Because they played great defense this game. They did. I think they deserve it more this game than when you gave it to them.
Yeah, that's true.
Bakhtiari.
Yeah, I agree.
Deserves
that.
It.
Mm, definitely. All right, just so you know, one of the things I do is voiceover work, voice acting. So if you have anything you would like done, a lot of stuff, corporate stuff, e-learning stuff, I can put words to your words. And all you have to do is I'm going to give you a website. You can check out. I got some demos on there, contact information. It's voiceguynextdoor.com. Voiceguynextdoor.com.
Also, we have the NFC North report. It's on packtothefuture.com, where you can also find our show as one of the Packer radio shows on the site. It's a weekly article, NFC North report. Get it while you can, because there is one left leading into the final week. So the season finale of the NFC North report will probably be, I'd say, Thursday, mid to late Thursday. You'll be able to see it up there.
Okay.
And also, you know, join the Facebook group.
Please. Yes.
We really appreciate the support you give us listening to the show. We hope you enjoy it. We put a lot of work into it. It's it's a labor of love for us. We don't do anything to advertise. We don't pay anything to advertise. So if you can help out, spread the word, tell your friends that are Packer fans, share it on Facebook, whatever you can do, we would really appreciate it. Even just going on iTunes or wherever you listen and giving us a review, a rating, That also helps grow the show. If you want us to be able to, you know, keep bringing you quality Packer analysis, we'd really appreciate the help.
Okay.
And join the Facebook group, Bleeding Green and Gold.
Did you happen to, before we get into how bad you're losing on the picks, let's go over some of the games. Did you happen to catch any of that Oakland-Philly game?
I do not believe I did. No, I did not.
How bad Philly was, and the only reason why they weren't so bad is because Oakland was even worse. From
Oakland's been pretty looking up at mediocre this year.
Which the hype was incredible.
Yeah, the hype was big on them. I think what a lot of people don't realize from last year is that their defense was very bad last year. Their offense had a lot of flash plays, but besides that, even they were winning a lot of games by 1 to 3 points in the last second. You know, they could have had a bad record last year, and it would not have been that different of a season for them. So,
let's see.
Philly locks down the number one seed, though, home field advantage all the way through. It's a bummer they lost Carson Wentz with
huge.
The year he was having, an exciting new quarterback in the league. He was fun to watch.
Any other ones sticking out for you?
Sticking out. We had not
how bad
too
is
many
Cleveland?
Huge
Chicago
games.
Beat them 20-3.
Cleveland could not get their win of the season against the Bears. I thought that was they had a good shot at it. I thought the Lions had to beat the Bengals to keep their playoff hopes alive. The Bengals, who had given up because Marvin Lewis gave up on them. But they didn't. Bengals win 26-17. Lions are out of playoff contention. The best part is they needed the Falcons to lose to stay in it as well as winning, and the Falcons lost. That sounded more mean than I wanted it to. So that I'd say that's another big score. Saints continue to roll 23-13 over the Falcons. Chargers 14-7 over the Jets. I believe the Chargers are still in the wild card hunt. Rams win 27-23. Todd Gurley has another monster game to lead probably the majority of teams that had him in the fantasy football championship to a victory. Let's see.
And how about Frisco wins another one in a row?
Jimmy G, the legend of Jimmy Garoppolo. And he's so handsome. Have you seen him? He's just the classic quarterback guy off the movies.
Well, you can't be ugly and be a quarterback in the NFL.
I guess, but he's everything he's been advertised to be.
Yeah, absolutely.
No one has been able to come in and throw it against Jacksonville the way he did this game. They won 44-33, and what was probably the best game of the week, which I can't imagine before the season started, looking at this week and going, oh,
yeah,
I bet 49ers, Jaguars going to be a real barn burner. but the NFL's weird, so. And then Seattle 21-12 over Dallas. Well,
it's that time.
Is it that time?
Yes,
I suppose. Mike is up by 5 in the Pick'em contest. I believe it is now mathematically impossible for you to lose.
I think it's a pretty good chance, yeah.
So congratulations.
Thank you.
Is this your first time winning?
I don't.
No?
No.
No, because honestly, I don't remember who
don't
won
either.
Last year or the year
no,
before.
I
was like, I really don't know.
So Mike's up by
5. I think you've had the lead all year.
Pretty close.
You got it early and you held on to it. You're up by 5. Last week we had Vikings at Packers. You took
the Vikings.
And you were
correct.
And then it was Browns at Bears. You took
Bears.
And you were
correct.
And then we both took the Lions at Bengals. We were both wrong. We both had too much faith in the Lions.
Yeah.
So.
It we should know it from history. They typically do this every year. They mm-hmm. fall in their face.
Next week, Bears at Vikings. Tough
Vikings.
One. Oh, wow. Okay. Going out on a limb. I guess I'll take Bears, right? I mean.
Why not?
I think we might. I don't think we even do have 3 games next week to pick, since we only do NFC North games. I think it's Bears and Vikings, Packers and Lions.
Which one are you picking on that? Packers and Lions. You're picking the Bears, right?
Yeah, I mean, I got to pick the Bears.
So what are you going
to
pick?
I don't want you to win by more. Packers at Lions, I'm going to take the Packers.
I'll take the Lions.
2 weeks in a row picking against the Packers, yeah. And I used to think you were a fan.
Not a homer.
How do you feel about the Lions game?
I have no clue what to think of with this team right now. It's so dysfunctional, and we have to get it. It'd be nice to say we have, like, well, we can count on the defense to, you know, hold their own, and maybe we can score a couple. I can't say that. And Hundley playing in the dome, who knows?
Let's see what Vegas thinks about the Lions game.
Okay.
What do you think the spread is?
I'll say 7.
4.
For the Lions.
Well, you have done well at ruining my little game.
Why? What is it?
It's 7 for the Lions.
Well, I was thinking, you know, typically they give you 3
yeah.
when you play at home.
Yep.
And so it's got to be more than a field goal. So it's
mm-hmm.
7. That's how
it's a good pick. I would have done 7.5 if I was Vegas. You know, that really gets a lot of people all riled up. I know bettors hate that half a point. But, yeah, so Lions are 7-point favorites. It just kind of shows where we're at this point in
yep.
the season. Maybe we might see a lot of younger guys playing this game as well. I don't even really know what to look for. Hopefully we can get a pass rush. Mm. A lot of the Lions' offense happens within the first 5 yards, even their passing, where they'll pass behind the line of scrimmage or short
okay.
passes on slants. They get their speed guys the ball and then let them make
right.
moves. So if we want to be successful on defense, we have to keep them in front of us this game. Hopefully we do that. And the legend of Brett Hundley continues.
Yeah. Brett overthrow Hundley.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's see if we can end on a positive note. Until then,
Go Pack Go!
Thank you for listening to the Bleeding Green and Gold podcast with your hosts, Sean and Mike Reagan. Make sure to subscribe and check out the website at bleedinggreenandgold.com. Join the Facebook group. All questions and comments are welcome. Send them to feedback@bleedinggreenandgold.com. And until next time, Go Pack Go!